chapter number 26. We're going to read verse 17 through 25, then verse 28 and 32. Amen. And you have it. Say, I have the word. And I'm ready to receive it. And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac the servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitna. And they removed from thence and digged another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, and I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed, my servant Abraham's sake. Verse 25, and he built an altar, called upon the name of the Lord, pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Let's go on down to verse 28. And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee, and we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. In verse 32, and it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, we have found water. Amen. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fades away, and the word of God stands forever. Amen. The word of God stands forever. Amen. We want to give you a thought simple and from this topic, title and thought. Keep digging. Amen. Keep digging. The book of Genesis is a book that's written by Moses. It's one of the five books of Moses, and we wonder how is it that Moses ended up being able to write the book of Genesis and tell us what happened in the beginning before he even came on the scene. Now, a lot of things were passed down through tradition to many, but Moses had the privilege of going up on the mountaintop and being able to talk face to face with God. Amen. The Bible says that he said that he would talk to Moses face to face, although Moses could not see the face of God, because what God did is that he told Moses, he said, Moses, he said, I'm going to place you beside me. There's a place beside me in the cleft of the rock, and you'll see my hinder parts. You'll see everything that has happened behind me. Amen. You see my hinder parts, and you'll get to know who I am. And so from that experience, Moses was able to write the book of Genesis on how things happened from the beginning. Amen. And so here it is in this book of Genesis, has to do with, much of it has to do with Abraham. And then another part of it has to do with Jacob. A very, very small portion of Genesis has a focus on Isaac as the main character. Mainly this one chapter has Isaac as the main character in the book of Genesis. Now Isaac's, we know who he was. He was Abraham's son. The promise that God had given him, that he said that you will have a son, and he had to wait 25 years to have this son with Sarah. And she named him Isaac, which means laughter, because it gave her joy. It made her laugh to know that God was going to bless her, who was old and barren, with a seed that would eventually produce a nation that come out of him. Amen. And so here's Isaac after the death of Abraham. And now Isaac has two sons of his own, his sons, Esau and Jacob. Twins, amen? Twins, but they totally different, two different people. And a famine comes in the land according to verse 1. Let's just go ahead and look at it and get into the word, amen? this is right after Jacob had tricked Esau out of his birthright. And then there was a famine in the land. And there was a famine. And beside the first famine that Abraham had in his time. Now, what we got to remember as people of God, we got to remember that sometimes there's going to be times when the conditions around us don't seem to be very conducive to what we want them to be. Amen. There are going to be sometimes what seems like a famine will happen in your life. It seems like it's dry. It seems like nothing's really happening for me. Seems like I can't get what I want to get when I want to get it. Come on and say amen. Seems like things get a little bit tight on me. And we need to know that we have to see that those things are going to happen even unto the best of us. We have mistakenly and falsely understood what the Bible says, that we don't have to go through nothing. Somebody said that and that wasn't true. Because we do have to go through, amen? Although we won't be affected the same way because of the hope that we have in God, we do still have to deal with some things. And that was a famine. And verse 1 talks about it was a famine, another famine. And Isaac went into Abimelech, the king of Gerar, and the Philistines into Gerar. And he says, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down unto him and don't go to Egypt. And he said, stay in the land, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of the heaven, and will give unto thy seed and these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Amen. Notice this. The first thing we have to notice is that the famine, although the famine came, there's still, you know, we got to see that God still speaks in the famine. Even though in verse 1 through 5, there was a famine and God spoke, Isaac still did not want to obey what God has said. Amen. We got to put ourselves in Isaac's position. Isaac has a family now. There's a famine going on. And Isaac said, the best thing for me to do for my family and me is to go somewhere where it's easy for me to get what I need. You know, that's what we do. We think about what we need to go, what we need to move to, how we need to do it, what job we need to have so we can make things happen for me and my family. Come on and say amen. What we got to understand that we can't focus on the effects of the famine, but we have to focus on the effects of our faith. What our faith can produce, even though the conditions around us may not be productive, it doesn't look and appear to be, we have to put our faith in God that he will give us our daily bread, that he will give us what we need. I wish I had somebody. Even though you're in a place of frustration and in a place of friction, come on and say amen, in a place of difficulty, that's not an excuse to be disobedient. Uh-huh. Amen. And so here it is. He says that now he went to try to go to Gerar. And then he talked to the Philistines king, and he had intended to go down to Egypt. Now, what this really means is that when he intended to go to Egypt, he intended to go. Egypt is a type of the world. That's where God had shown them, even in the book of Exodus, that they had to come out of Egypt, out of the world. So he intended to go to Egypt because Egypt had everything going on for itself. Amen. And he thought he could surely find a place in Egypt. And God told him, no, I want you to stay in this land. So you know what Isaac did? Isaac decided, I'm going to not go to Egypt, but I'm going to go down that way. Amen. He went to the land of the Philistines. He went there, and guess what? He went to the king, and he talked to him. Now, we got to understand this man. Isaac had all of the possessions that was given to him by his father. His father had become a very, very wealthy man, a rich man who had herds of cattle, herds of sheep. He had everything that you could ever think about and dream of. He had it, and so he passed it down to his son Isaac. Amen. Isaac had it all, and then Isaac was thinking about, hey, I may go bankrupt in the midst of this famine. What we got to understand, too, is that Abraham, even though he was a herdsman, Isaac was a herdsman and a farmer. I'm going to get to that in a minute. And so he was looking at the fact that I can't plant and I can't grow anything, so I need to go down to the place of Egypt where they got plenty. Amen? But he didn't go there. But verse 5 says this. Verse 6 says, and Isaac dwelt in Gerar. So he left the place where God told him not to leave. God said, dwell in this land, and I'm going to bless you. Amen? He said, dwell in this land, and I will perform the blessings that I swear and I promised your father Abraham because of his obedience. Now, Isaac should have known that his father was obedient, because it was that obedience that when he went to go and sacrifice Isaac, that God said, now I see that you won't withhold anything from me, and I'm going to bless you. So Isaac should have known that God had spoken and that God said he was going to bless Abraham and his seed. And he should have realized that, hey, I am the seed of Abraham. That's what happens to many of us who call ourselves Christians. We forget and we have an identity crisis and we forget who we are. I don't care what's going on around me. I know who I am. Come on and say, man, I don't care what they do, what they say. I don't care what they heard. I know who I am. I don't care what it looks like around me. It may be famine-ish around me. Amen. I may not feel what I felt in a couple of years ago or yesterday, but I do know one thing. I know who I am. I know the promise that God has given me. Amen. Amen. Now look at this. In verse 6, we understand that he wanted to go down to Egypt, but he stayed in the land of Gerar. And look at this. Let's go a little further. In verse number 12 and 13, he says, and Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. Now look at this. Now we got to understand something. The Lord blessed Isaac, although Isaac was not being obedient. He went somewhere God told him not to go, and he still was productive. He got 100-fold, and he wasn't even supposed to be there. Now, the one thing that God shows me here is that even sometimes when people who belong to him aren't always as obedient as they should be, that doesn't mean that God's not going to bless you. Oh, yeah, the devil is a lie. Somebody thought that because I know I made a mistake. There's no doubt that we all make mistakes. Amen. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory. But that does not keep God from blessing you. God will bless you if he wants to. And matter of fact, if God has already blessed you, he won't turn around and curse you because he's already blessed you. God is not an Indian giver. God is not the type that will, he's not like us. He don't change his mind about you. Amen. If God says he loves you, he loves you to death. Come on and say amen. Better yet, he loves you to life, because instead of letting you die, he gave you eternal life. And so if God said something, you can bank on what God said. You can believe what God said. If God loves you, if God is going to bless you, then nothing around can mess up that blessing. The devil in hell himself can't stop God from blessing you, because he's already spoken the word over your life. And so what I'm going to rest in is in what God has said. And so I got to hear what God says. I can't hear what they say and the naysay. Come on and say amen. But I heard what God said, and since God said it, I believe it, and that's settled for me. Amen. And I know that God is going to do it. So here he was. He was in a land. He was fruitful in a land that he wasn't even supposed to be in. He got 100-fold. Some of us struggling to get 20. Huh? But he got 100-fold because of who he was. Because of the blessing. Because him being the promise. Amen? Let's just look at this. We got to understand. Now, God doesn't change his promises. Remember, I said this some time ago, that when Abraham was living, Abraham, his name was Abram, and God changed his name to Abraham. Then he changed Jacob's name to Israel. Come on and say amen. The one thing he didn't change was Isaac's name. Why didn't God change his name? He didn't change Isaac's name because Isaac was the promise. God does not change the promise. The promise always remains the same. Come on, somebody say amen. The promise never changes. If God said it, he won't change his mind about what he said he'll do. Oh, come on and say amen. And so here it is. Now, let's look at verse 13. He says in verse 13, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. He was already great. But he grew until he became very great. Amen. And verse 14 says, and he had possessions of the flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. Look at that. They envied him. His fruitfulness caused some friction. Sometimes your fruitfulness will cause friction. People don't, oh my God, today. And you know what? The reason why I'm preaching this is because I'm preaching to me this morning. Amen. Fruitfulness will cause friction in your life. Fruitfulness will sometimes cause frustration in your life because of the relationships of people around you. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, we got to see what fruitfulness brought into this man's life. He said that the Philistines, they envied him because of all the things that he had. Because he got 100-fold. They've been living there all this time and couldn't get nothing. But he shows up and here God blesses this joker here. Look at him. This joker came over here. I've been farming this land all this time and I can't get nothing. How come his cows aren't dying? How come he finds water every time? Come on and say amen. You got people that see your fruitfulness and God blessing you and then they want to have friction with you. Oh, come on. They can't speak good to you. They got to speak roughly about you and to you. Come on and say, man, they can't speak to you. They turn their nose up at you. Look, come on, they won't even speak to your children because you fruitful. Amen. This man was so fruitful. Amen. He had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great store of servants. He had it going on. He had flocks and he had herds. He had chickens. Come on. He had sheep, he had cattle, he had everything, and then guess what? He had servants to work all that stuff. He had servants to put things in process, amen? They had plenty to eat. And you know, he had all these things, amen, and the Philistines, they envied him. In other words, they were hating on him. Their conversation every morning had to be about him. Come on and say amen. They had to say something about him. Anytime they got to talking, they had to say something negative about Isaac. Amen. In verse 15, for all the wells which his father's servant had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. Now, we got to see something here. Now, when you're fruitful, amen, people, they'll go back in your family and start talking about them too. They'll start hating on your whole entire family. Come on and say amen. They'll start hating on everybody around you, anybody connected to you. They got something negative. I wish I had somebody here to know what I'm talking about. Anytime you're fruitful, people would desire to stop those things that seem to be productive. And you know what? They went to all the wells that Abraham had digged. Now, they could have been using those wells for themselves, but they didn't want him to have any remembrance of how profitable and how fruitful his father was. So they went and put dirt in. Amen. Anybody has some dirt put on some stuff? Seem like you've been prospering and all of a sudden people trying to stop up your well. They're trying to stop you from being able to draw from it. Come on. They're trying to stop you from being able to be refreshed from it. They're trying to stop you from being able to use it at your advantage. Come on and say amen. But I'm here to let you know this morning that they can stop up all the wells they want to because I'm going to keep on digging. I wish I had somebody today. We got to see here that what he did, he said that they stopped him up with earth. They filled them with earth. In other words, they said, I bet he can't use this well. I bet he won't be able to drink from this water no more. He probably remember where his daddy dug wells at. That's why he came back here. But he need to get out of here. Come on and say amen. But in the process of time, let me tell you a bit about the story. He had lied and said that his wife Rachel was his sister. And then finally Abimelech the king was looking out and he said, you know what, Isaac lied. And he called him and said, man, why you lied and said that's your sister? We know that's your wife. Now, somebody could have messed around there and got in trouble by taking your wife with them. Amen? And then he told the people, he said, don't touch Isaac and don't touch his wife. Now, the reason why he was able to do that and the reason why he said that is because Abimelech knew that the one only true and wise God was Jehovah. And Abraham belonged to him, and he knew that. And so he said, you know what? We better not mess with Abraham's seed because God has truly blessed them. Amen. And so he told him, he said, but you need to get out of this land. He said, you need to get out of here and go back to where you come from. Amen. And in the process of him going, he decided that I'm not going all the way home because I like what I got over here. So I'm going to dwell in the valley where nobody wants to live. But when he was dwelling in the valley, he was able to be prosperous even there too. What I'm trying to tell you is the same thing I said to you last week. The Bible says in Psalm number 1, you're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You shall bring forth fruit in your season. It doesn't matter. And whatsoever you do shall prosper. It doesn't matter where you are. Come on and say amen. You're still blessed. That's why you'll be blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Come on and say amen. It doesn't matter where you are and what you do. God said that he will make it work for you. I wish I had somebody. Oh, my God, today. And so he was frustrated because of the friction that he got from being fruitful. I wish I had somebody. And so here he is in verse number. Let's look at verse 17. He says, verse 16 says, and Abimelech said, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. He began to hate on the man and told him, you need to get out of here because you have become mightier than us in our own land. The place where we should be prospering, you just took over. Oh, come on and say amen. And so we ought to be like that. We ought to be in a position to where wherever we go, we affect everything around us. Oh, yeah, we should be like the salt of the earth. Come on and say amen. If the salt has lost its savior, come on, we got to understand we can't lose our savor. We got to be able to permeate and to affect and get into everything that we touch. God has sprinkled us into this stew, what we call the world, and he wants us to be able to be tasted by everybody. Come on and say amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And verse 17, Isaac departed, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and then he dwelt there. And Isaac digged again away the wells of water, which they had digged the days of Abraham, his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called their names after the names in which his father had called them. Amen? When we look at what he did, and I'm just going to give you these names, and we'll talk even more about it. He went to the places where he knew his father had dug wells, where he knew he can get water. That's the problem with many Christians. We don't go where we know we can get water. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We rather stay, amen, and dry up. We rather stay and feel the effects of the famine and the drought. And here we are thirsty, and we don't have sense enough to go back and start digging. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes the things that people put on top of you, amen, and on top of your well, you got to understand that those things need to be dug up. I need to remove some stuff. I need to remove some flesh. I need to remove some dirt, amen, some stuff that they put on top of my well because I got to draw from this well. He went back to where he knew that he can get some water. We know that water represents the word. I wish I had somebody. And so he went back to the places where his father had dug, and he opened up those wells and named them the same thing his father named them. There was a well called Beersheba, which means the well of an oath, or the place where God promised. Amen? His promise, God's promise, or God's oath. Then there's Rehoboth, which means the place of fruitfulness. Then there's Beer Lerahi, which means the God who lives and sees what I do. What we need to see is that God sees and knows what you do. God knows where you're going to be, and he knows where you need to be. Amen? And so since he knows it, he turns around and blesses you because he knows where you are. Amen? Let's go on to verse number 18 verse number 19. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. Now, there's a difference here. They had dug the wells of Abraham, and they found that they had to draw from these wells. But they said, let's find us a well that the water just spring up. Let's find a well where after we work, we ain't got to go back and draw and work a little harder. But all we got to do is drink. Lord have mercy here. He says, now they went and they found the same places, the places that Abraham had dug and found water, and where they had to dig and take buckets and get water to water their flocks, to water their gardens and things like that. And it took more work to get people watered, to get the flocks watered, and to get the fields watered. Amen. It took more work to water the folks, the fields, and the flock. But then they found a place where they dug a well and the water just gushed up. I wish I had somebody. And so they found that place, and guess where it was? It was in the valley where nobody wanted to be. Come on and say amen. Sometimes you may not want to be in the valley, but God said, I got something for you there. Huh? Oh, yeah, you may not want to be in the valley, and maybe you did something to get in the valley. Maybe you were disobedient, and that's where you are because you had friction with people, and you decide to move on out. Come on and say amen. And so while you're there, don't be discouraged. You just start digging. Oh, come on and say amen. If they stop up your well, if they contend with you for the well, they said that this is our wells. Amen. These belong to us. But guess what he said? He said, but I'm going to keep on digging. They took what belonged to him. They took the labor of his folks. Amen. His people dug those wells. They could have dug them up, but they were too busy stopping them up. And then they took those and they contended with him. They strove with him. They fought against him. But guess what? He didn't say, you know what? I guess I'll just quit. He didn't say, you know, I guess I'll just die. I guess we might as well eat all we can eat and then we can go and die because everything's going to die anyway. I guess I might as well quit planting. I guess I might as well hold my seed because I can't plant nothing here because they might come take that too. And you know, they did. They tried to raid him. They tried to take what was his. But guess what? He said, I'm going to keep digging. I'm not going to just keep digging, but I'm going to keep moving and digging. Can you dig it this morning? I just want to keep digging. Will you just keep digging and stop belly aching, stop complaining, stop crying about what they did, what they said, how they hating on you? I don't want to hear that no more. Don't tell me how bad they hating on you. Just tell me where you're moving to so we can dig. Oh, come on and say amen. It's time for us to get a well of water that's springing up. I need a water fountain. I don't want a well. God said, let me show you something better than a well. You know, they can have the wells where they got the draw from because somebody got to work. Somebody got to carry buckets, but I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you a water fountain right in the middle of the valley where don't seem to be nothing. Oh, there wasn't no rain, so there wasn't no need in being in the valley. Since there wasn't any rain, the rain would cause the water to run off the mountain and down into the valley. The valley's dried up now, and he said, I'll stay in the valley in this place because it's dried up, but I'm going to dig and see what I can find. Some of us, we just give up if we don't find it on first go round. We give up if people talk about us, if people try to take what's ours, if people try to do what we were doing. They take it over, and then we get mad. We want to talk. Come on and say, man, negatively. But God has said, even though you have friction, even though you have frustration, even though you have those things, you don't have to fight because I intend to make you fruitful. Even in the difficulty and the disobedience, God has a divine plan for your life. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this. He says in verse 19, they found water and it was a spring, a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac, herdmen, saying, the water is ours. And he called the name of the well Essek because they strove with him. He said, look, I don't want to fight, but they want to fight with me. I gave you the wells, the other wells that Abraham did, my father. What was really my inheritance, I have a right to drink from it. But you took that. Now you see the water shooting up. And you come out to take this. Oh, come on and say amen. He's taking, they're taking his water fountain now. And then he said, look, and they digged another well and strove for that also. And he called the name Sitnah. Well, we got to see something here. They found out something. And what we don't realize is that the reason why some people who they follow us around, they want to know what we're doing because we're fruitful. They follow us around because we know, they know that that sooner or later you're going to get something out of what your labor is. They know that you don't labor in vain. And so instead of them working, they follow you so they don't have to work. So they can leech on to what you have produced, leech on to your labor of your work. Come on and say amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries. Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Tempe, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship, and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessing. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support. We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries.